News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. So, yeah, there's a ton of stuff going on in the world right now. And I got to tell you, it's amazing to watch the number of hotspots that are popping up left and right. I mean, do we have domestic issues? Yes. But foreign policy has got to be considered. And so number two on the triple dipper, I'm calling it, where's the plan, Mr. President? Because we cannot see a cohesive plan for foreign policy. I mean, at the very least, you could say under the Trump administration, you could describe it. It was America first. Okay, that drives the train. With Biden, if you know what the plan is, please tell me. I defy anyone out here to tell me that there is a cohesive plan. Maybe it's make America last. I don't know. But the reality is I'm looking around the world and it almost seems like they walk around playing whack-a-mole, that their strategy is to play whack-a-mole with foreign policy. There's a thing there, whack it. There's a thing there, whack it. There's a thing over there, whack it. What do? Whack it. I don't know, whack it. Oh, I missed it. Whack it. Whack it twice. That's kind of where we're at. A lot of things happening, like, for instance, storyline that came off the postmillennial.com, and that's, by the way, if you didn't catch it, that's the title of this segment is Where's the Plan, Mr. President? Here's one that ought to catch some attention that I think is being underreported right now. The Postmillennial reports that as of yesterday, May 16th, breaking news, the Biden administration reverses Trump policy and sends troops to Somalia. I thought we just pulled out of Somalia. We did. Biden administration deploying U.S. troops to Somalia. President Biden signed off on the plan on Monday. There's a plan. Along with a plan to target some dozen leaders of Al-Shabaab. Trump had withdrawn troops from the war-torn region near the end of his time in office. About 450 special operations troops will be sent. Now, allegedly, they're there on, I would call it, hunter-killer missions. They are there to track down and take out Al-Shabaab terrorists, which I got no problem with, to be honest. But the fact that we're basing them permanently in Somalia at a time when we had just pulled them out, at a time when we got other things happening around the world, well, we'll see. But right now, an underreported story, in my opinion, is the fact that we just put a persistent presence back into Somalia, 450 special operations troops. I would say 450 special ops troops is probably half of that is logistics troops, but nonetheless, there they are in Somalia. Hey, let me jump over and grab a phone call real quick. I see I've got it holding on the line. Line one, Josh from Madison. Hey, Josh, Phil Williams, how you doing today?
Phil Williams, I'm doing well. Just on my way home from work. Enjoy listening to your show.
Well, thank you, sir. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, all the even Republicans attacking Republicans in their ads. I just can't stand it. I just wish we could have an atmosphere where, you know, they could just talk about what they believe in rather than talking about what the other person did in their past.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and by the way, Copper's cheering for you right now. I totally agree, Josh. And that's the reality that we live in, is that just because it says Republican next to their name, there are different versions of Republican. I say all the time that, you know, you can be a Republican does not mean you're a conservative. And so moderate Republicans are fighting against centrist Republicans, which are fighting against, you know, left wing Republicans, and we're fighting against conservative Republicans. And that's where the battle lines are right now. It's amazing. And you're right. It also gets pretty disheartening after a while. You get really tired of it.
Yeah, that is it.
Well, hang in there, man. The election comes up next week, and I guarantee you we're going to see some of this go all the way through June. But just pick your candidate and take them all the way to the House, brother. All right, Josh from Madison, thanks for the call. Appreciate you tuning in while you're driving home. All right, so I'm going back to my segment that I'm on right now. Where's the plan, Mr. President? I just told you a moment ago that the one story, the first leadoff story I had, was breaking news, which in my opinion is underreported. Go out there and try and find it. You're going to have to actually Google search the story. But yes, we are apparently putting troops back in Somalia. Is it going to have the same level of mission creep it had in the past? We've talked to Mike Durant on this show about that, how he literally watched the mission creep firsthand. They went over there with one mission. It became three missions. It became whatever mission came down the pike because there was not a cohesive plan. So my concern is not that we're hunting down Al-Shabaab terrorists in Somalia. My concern is, what is the broader narrative here? What is the plan that required the placement of these troops with a persistent presence in that region of the world? So it couldn't happen on a over-the-horizon mission? Because if you remember Joe Biden, he was all about the over-the-horizon. Back during his campaign, it's over-the-horizon. We'll have over-the-horizon capability. No, you won't. When you jerked everybody out of Afghanistan, you said that too. Over-the-horizon capability. No, you won't. It takes 4 hours to get a drone there. We just lost our presence. So is it over the horizon, Mr. President? Or are we going to put troops in place with boots on the ground persistently? Not just going there for the mission, but then staying there. Like hooching up on the ground. Well, they are 450 troops allegedly moving back to Somalia. Now, other things around the world right now, though. Let's talk about Afghanistan. CBS News reporting as of yesterday. The Afghanistan war, civil war, mind you, the Afghanistan civil war is rekindling, claiming lives and sending civilians fleeing as the Taliban battles the Panjshir Valley resistance. Now, first of all, I will tell you that if you're looking at Afghanistan and reading the military history of Afghanistan, or for that matter, even the social history of Afghanistan, the Panjshir Valley is legendary. It's Panjshir, the Panjshir Valley. Ahmad Shah Massoud was the leader of the Northern Alliance who held out against the Taliban until we got there. And Ahmad Shah Massoud was actually assassinated just prior to, literally just prior to 9/11. He held out and led the troops. He was known as the Lion of the Panjshir Valley. And the Panjshir, his son now, Ahmad Shah Massoud the younger, is leading the resistance. It's beginning to look like the old days of the Northern Alliance. The Northern Alliance were different sort of tribal and warlord-based factions that decided to fight against their common enemy. They weren't necessarily all friendly with each other, but at the same time, they would work together against their common enemy, the Taliban. Well, CBS News is reporting that after 20 years of fighting, the U.S.-backed government in Kabul as an insurgency is now battling to defend the U.S.-backed, I'm sorry, after 20 years fighting the U.S.-backed government in Kabul as an insurgency, the Taliban is now in charge, and they are now facing their own insurgency as they focus their fighting in the Panjshir and Nandarab valleys north of Kabul. And it says that they've already taken a heavy toll. And it's also affecting Afghan civilians. What I would call the Northern Alliance is now called the National Resistance Forces of Afghanistan, the NRF. And they've launched a new offensive. And so here we are, Mr. President. What's the plan? We're going to get us out of Afghanistan. Well, that's great. We did. We needed to get out of Afghanistan. The Afghanistan war needed to end. It was time. We also could just as easily have maintained a single base there at Bagram, where we would have had a presence in that part of the world where we would have been bordered by Iran, Pakistan, actually China, and the former Soviet republics to the north, like Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, and the others. We could have maintained Bagram Air Base, but now apparently we've given that over and the Chinese are beginning to use it. And just had a basing there. I mean, we still have bases in Germany. We still have bases in Japan since World War II. Why? Because they're strategic in a national and international sense. So some would disagree with me, I'm sure. Nonetheless, the jerk out that we had, the complete debacle that was the Afghan withdrawal under the Biden administration, had no plan, and it left a vacuum. Vacuums will always be filled. You cannot have a vacuum for long when it comes to power base and you know, a civilian populace. It'll be filled. Well, it was filled immediately by the Taliban, and now the civil war that was there before we got there is rekindled. According to CBS News, the fighting in the Panjshir Valley, it's like deja vu all over again. All right, what else we got here in the stack? I'm taking a walk around the world here. What's the plan, Mr. President? What are we seeing? Is there anything going on that we can recognize as being effective in your foreign policy? Well, one of the things that's happening right now, and I probably won't get through to it before we go to the next break, but CNN.com, reporting as of this past Friday, U.S. intelligence community is launching a review following its Ukraine and Afghanistan intel failings. You think? Says the U.S. Intelligence Committee is carrying out a sweeping internal review of how it assesses the fighting power of foreign militaries. And it's amid mounting pressure from key lawmakers on Capitol Hill who say the officials in the intel community have failed twice in a year on the two major foreign policy crises faced by the Biden administration in both Ukraine and Afghanistan. Think about it. These are two major issues going on in the world, and the Biden administration is struggling with both, in part because the summaries they were apparently working with were not accurate. It points out that the Defense Department, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, and the CIA all, quote, broadly underestimated how long the Ukrainian military would be able to fend off Russian forces. They're not just fending them off. They're whacking them hard. And yet there was reports coming out that the Biden administration was apparently leaning on, saying they wouldn't last but a matter of days. Well, right now it's to the point that the Russians are literally on their heels. And they question, it says, the methodology behind the intel community's assessments and the underlying assumptions behind them. All right, let's do this, Copper. Let's go ahead and go to a break. When we come back from this, I'm gonna keep on that theme. We're in number two of the Triple Dipper. Where's the plan, Mr. President? Where is the plan? Is your foreign policy, is your intel, are your summaries of things going around the world, is there a plan? Because we can't see it. Well, I'm going to go back to this thing about intel summaries on Ukraine and Afghanistan. There's some reason to believe that it may have just been, I don't know, anti-Trump sentiment that guided those intel summaries. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey Copper, I got to point something out to you.
Yeah.
Today, on the way back from Montgomery, I actually had a gas station hot dog, and I'm still doing good.
Okay, nice.
So, just
impressive.
Just saying, you know, if you hear me stop talking all of a sudden, it may be the gas station hot dog. But I think I'm doing good, so... It was the kind on the little rollers, you know, you could see them. They're kind of the heat rollers. They're going back. Yes. Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
It didn't look green. It was okay. So I think it's going to be all right. Yes. Okay. Listen, I'm going back to number two on the Triple Dipper. Where's the plan, Mr. President? Where is the plan? And I'm talking about foreign policy. I'm talking about things that are happening around the world. And you can't tell if there's a plan. I mean, if you look at, and by the way, I know that Trump didn't get everything right. But he got a whole lot more right than what we're seeing now. And I don't mean like just because I'm a conservative. I mean, I could look at it and go, yep, that worked. If I was a liberal, I would still have to be honest and go, Trump policies. They apparently worked. So, I mean, let's take a look at this, first of all. The story I had a minute ago, and I've got it still right here. CNN.com reporting as of last Friday that the U.S. intelligence communities are having to launch an internal review as to why they got it so wrong on both Ukraine and Afghanistan. If you remember, Afghanistan wasn't going to be a failing state right away. The Taliban was going to be able to work with us. We could rely upon the Taliban to help us with the withdrawal. How'd that go? 13 service members died. And according to a report that I just read you a moment ago, the civil war in Afghanistan is rekindling. Next thing you got, though, is Ukraine. Ukraine. Okay, well, the storyline was at the time they believed that Ukraine would not be able to hold out more than a matter of days. In fact, the same story I told you about from CNN, says intelligence officials have defended their work in the lead-up to the war in Ukraine, arguing that the bulk of their predictions were accurate and that the assessment that the Ukrainian military would collapse and Kyiv would fall to Russia within a matter of days was justifiable based on the information available to the United States at the time. Well... That's the point, is apparently you were not gathering data and assessing it and analyzing it and coalescing it into a reasonable format so that it could be assessed for future use in a reasonable manner. Because you got it so wrong. I mean, it's been going on now. The war's been going on for months. Russia has been getting their, you know, proverbial backsides handed to them by the guys you said wouldn't last more than a few days. All right, here's one piece of this article that I was going to point out before we got to the last break, and I'll just do it now. Critics say the U.S. might have moved to arm Ukraine sooner and with heavier weaponry if the intel community had assessed that it stood a fighting chance against the Russian army. In the days leading up to the war, the intel community told policymakers that Kyiv would likely fall within 3 to 4 days of the Russian invasion. I want to remind you that there was lethal aid already scheduled for delivery to Ukraine. Not heavy stuff. I don't believe we had howitzers and you know, armed drones in line at that point, but we definitely had javelins and stingers. Javelins being anti-tank and stingers being anti-aircraft. And those have made a huge difference. Huge. Once they began getting them. But they were sitting on, you know, basically the a green ramp ready for shipment. And the Biden administration wouldn't send them. They didn't send them. It was a leftover from the Trump era. And they weren't intent upon doing anything that had Trump's name attached to it. And as a result, they sat there and watched for close to a year while the Russians built up on the borders. Up to the point that they had between 110,000 to 130,000 Russian troops on the borders. And the intel community going, "Oh, I don't think Ukraine's going to be able to hold out." Meanwhile, the Biden administration is realizing now, had they armed them earlier, it might have made a difference. We might not be looking at such epic levels of devastation. Now, the Ukrainians may be doing an admirable job on the battlefield, which they are, but it's not that it's not having a toll, causing a toll on the infrastructure and the civilian population of Ukraine. Ukraine is going to be devastated when this is over. And the level of destruction that has come through, it's as if a massive, you know, class 5 tornado has literally just hit certain cities. Especially Mariupol. Mariupol down on the coastal regions to the southeastern portion of Ukraine. I'm going to give you an update on that in just a minute when we get back from the break. But Mariupol has been both a story of heroism and a tragedy all at the same time. It's going to wind up, I believe, going down in Ukrainian history the same way that we have a reverence for the Alamo in Texas. Because the defenders of the Azovstal steel plant in Mariupol have done an amazing job of making life miserable for the Russians and keeping that city out of Russian hands. Well, some updates on that. I'll tell you when we get back.